Good morning. Welcome to another episode of the LCS Commute Podcast, the daily podcast made by and for the morning commute. I'm your host, Thomas Baker, a.k.a. T-Bakes, writer and contributor at thegamehouse.com. I've been on a little bit of a hiatus. Well, yesterday, it was the 4th of July. Today is July 6th. We had the 4th on Monday. And then yesterday, just from the whole three-day weekend, I was honestly just having a hard time getting motivated to do the podcast on my way back to work. But here we are. And you know what? We're kind of going to need to stretch things out because the LCS is going to be on a hiatus. So first, today I'm just going to talk about day one of week three. So I'm just going to talk about Saturday's games. The plan would be for tomorrow, we'll talk about day two. And then from there, I'm just going to come up with some different topics to discuss. One big one popped up yesterday on the Twitter feed that I'll probably go into a pretty long rant about. And yeah. So, Saturday, honestly, most of the games were pretty one-sided. It didn't feel like a very, very many close matches. So, for example, Cloud9 versus CLG, which was one of the premier matchups, CLG being a first-place team, Cloud9 coming, kind of being on the up and up since getting their full intended starting roster. But Cloud9, honestly, took control of the game early and never really let go. Jensen on Azir, in particular, he was carrying. I think he ended the game deathless. I believe Sven was on Yumi that game, and... It's interesting, there's a few champions that kind of stand out from the weekend as well. So, Azir, for example, Jensen played Azir and won. Ablaze Olive played Azir and won against Immortals. And then you have Yumi. Sven played Yumi. Vulcan played Yumi. Both resulted in pretty... I think they both were deathless, and both those teams won. And then the other interesting one that stands out is Udyr, who... Cloud9, Blabber played it, and they won, although I don't feel like the Udyr was the reason why. And Team Liquid's Santorin played it, and it looked pretty useless. And it was I remember specifically it was like the last pick in the draft, or it was really towards the end of the draft. So he had Team Liquid, it might have been the last pick in the draft. Team Liquid had complete knowledge of what both compositions looked like, and they locked in Udyr, and I don't know, it just didn't really do anything all game. And that's kind of the nature of the champion. When he isn't power farming and getting massive farm leads early on, he just doesn't really seem like he does much. You can't really appreciate anything else that he does. It's not like he can look for a play. When he looks for a play, if it's not going to work, it's just going to be him running at somebody and dying. You know, it's going to look terrible. But Cloud9 somehow pull it off. They had Fudge on Tryndamere, and then I can't remember who Berserker was playing. Maybe Ziri Yumi? If it was Ziri... No. Yeah. Ziri Yumi. And I believe that's the exact same thing that Evil Genius has played bottom lane. Ziri Yumi. So there might be something there. Teams might need to start picking apart this duo, because it looks very strong. difference. I believe JoJo played Corki instead of Azir. And actually, Blue might have played Azir. No. Blue played Victor. Definitely in a scaling mid lane meta that gets a little bit stale. But C9 took down CLG. Their team looked solid, and that win looked pretty. Although, if you just look at the score lines, I'm pretty sure it would look like a messy game. But Cloud9 felt like they had complete control of the game pretty much the entire time. I never really felt like CLG was in the driver's seat. Golden Guardians, essentially almost perfect game to Mortals, which is becoming a meme at this point. And it is very concerning for this Immortals lineup. Very concerning for Power of Evil in particular, because I feel like one of his hallmarks has always been, hey, I can late game carry a team that would otherwise not be expected to win. And it just isn't clicking for Power of Evil. I feel like this is his... I feel like he started... let's see, what teams has he... He's been hopping on different teams every year. We had TSM. And then before that was a FlyQuest. And that was really his last time finding any measure of success. It was FlyQuest. He looked great with Santorin and Ignar and that squad. I think it was Wild Turtle and who was playing top? It was Solo for a bit, but before that, I can't remember. That's really sad. I can't remember who their top was that season. Licorice? No, it wasn't Licorice. I'll think of it later. It'll come to me in the middle of the day when I'm not even thinking about it. He went from that to TSM, which the TSM was a complete failure. And now he's on Immortals, which is looking like a complete failure. And I'm honestly not watching the games close enough to be able to tell you, like, oh yeah, it's definitely Power of Evil. He's not really active in the early game. I mean, I could throw out all the generalizations about what could be causing that. Yeah, Power of Evil doesn't do anything in the early game. And he only tries to scale, but... And then he's got a rookie jungler, and he doesn't have any synergy with him, and he's building all these wacky things instead of just building... Like, you know, there's a lot of generalizations about Power of Evil that... I'm going to leave that to the real analysts. I don't watch the games player by player close enough. We don't have Pro View anymore to just watch a player. I'm sure it's just... playstyle differences not syncing up, and these situations tend to have a negative spiral to them. You know, you start losing games terribly, and then you get more in your head about well, what's causing this? I don't want to be the reason why, so I'm just going to play safe. Just play safe, and the next thing you know, your whole team is playing safe, but. That's not how you win League of Legends. Even in a scaling meta, just play safe is not a strategy. That's a stalling tactic. It doesn't really help you identify and execute moments of opportunity. So, So I don't really have the answers for Immortals, but I am kind of worried that this might be Power of Evil's last split before going to either Academy or going back to Europe or something, which would be kind of sad. I mean, he's been in North America for a while now, but, you know, I would be comfortable at this point if he were replaced with a newer, younger talent. Because he is just kind of... he's one of those stable mid laners who's just always been here for many years now. I think he's been here all 4 years since franchising, because he was on Optic, he was on... he's been on so many teams at this point. He's been on TSM, he's been on Immortals, he's been on... I don't think he's been on Golden Guardians, or... he's been on at least four teams at this point. Optic, Fly, TSM, and now Immortals. Yeah, I think it's time for Power of Evil to either hit the Academy for a little bit or go back to Europe and try something over there, maybe an ERL league, but... or ERL team, sorry. Just to get some new vibes, so get a new paint job on him, you know? I feel like his playstyle worked for a long time, and now we're just at a point in League of Legends where just scaling mages will not win the game by itself. You have to have some kind of early presence, some kind of ability to play around those first dragons, like, and first Rift Herald. Just sitting in lane, farming, and then turning it on in the late game, I don't think is sufficient anymore. And again, I'm not watching his games close enough to know if that's exactly what he's doing. I just know that that's what he has done historically for most of his career. That's been his greatest strength, is scale, team fight. That's it. But Immortals is... looking very worrisome. I think similarly, Lost is on the chopping block as far as players that might filter out of the league. He's been on a similar trend. You know, he went from Echo Fox to Golden Guardians to TSM to Golden Guardians and now Immortals, and it seems like that whole time he's just, his team's performance has been going down, 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 and it's hard to parse apart. God, squirrel. It's hard to parse apart the correlation of, hey, you joined this team and they got worse. You joined this team and they got worse. You played for this team and they didn't look good. And it's a steady downtrend for those two carries. Now, Ignar, I don't really feel like you can blame Ignar. He's only been on the team for 3 weeks, and I don't think it's fair to expect one person, one player, to completely reinvigorate a team. Revenge, similarly, Revenge has been here for a while now. Revenge has been Immortals top laner for, what, 2 years now? I think this is his third year. Or was he a rookie? He was a rookie last year. This is his second year. I don't think it's fair to blame Revenge. I mean, Revenge is he's had his ups and downs. I mean, I always think back to that solo kill he had on Alfari in their first match last year. Like, he's capable. And I don't think he's a bad personality to have in the league either. That's the other thing. It's like, Power of Evil and Lost, they just kind of exist, and they just seem like passive, uninteresting players for the most part. And I don't think it would be a bad thing to see those two players drop down into academy or go onto an amateur team or a European regional league team. And just basically boot camp for a while. Like, get that edge back. Get that spark back. And in the meantime, we'll promote a couple of academy guys who've been waiting in the wings for a while and see how they do. See if they bring something different. I mean, if Kenvy's joining the team, why not just go, you know, I would like to see Immortals just go full. If you're gonna do what you're doing, which is, I know they don't want to be a bottom feeder team, but let's just say you're not necessarily nervous about being last place. You just don't want to be perfect gamed anymore. You've got Revenge, you've got Kenvy. Okay, we can build with that. Those are two North American players, right? So that opens up all your import slots if you want to use them. I would much rather see Immortals bring in, like, an import mid laner. And then resident bot and support. That's what I think they should do going into next year. On the flip side, Golden Guardians, getting back to the actual games, Golden Guardians looks pretty good. I'm kind of happy. Like, I think I mentioned in one of my podcast episodes that I feel like the difference between the top teams and the bottom teams is usually how consistent are you against the bottom teams. If you're able to consistently beat the bottom five teams, that's how you get into top four, is that you just don't drop games to the bottom teams. You might be competitive with the top five, and you might maybe drop a game here or there to the top five, but when you play against Immortals, historically CLG, but not in the current moment, Golden Guardians, Dig, FlyQuest, you consistently will beat them. Not drop games. And I feel like Golden Guardians is becoming more consistent in those types of ways. And this is a big statement game for them that, hey, we are not on anywhere near Immortals tier right now. We're on a different level. Then we've got Team Liquid 100 Thieves. It sucks because Team Liquid, and this was something I would run into last split too, is that Team Liquid, they'll play a game with a pick that kind of seems out of the blue or not really. You don't really see the thought process behind the pick. And then when they lose the game, all you can help but think is they should have just not picked that champion. And that's how we felt about the Shyvana top last split. And that's how we felt about, Who else did they pick that was different? I can't remember off the top of my head. There were a couple games last split where they just, like, locked in a random champ that nobody was expecting, and then they just didn't win. And it's so easy to tunnel in on, well, they should, for this game, for example, like, well, they just shouldn't have last picked Udyr. They should have last picked somebody else with more agency in the early game. They should have locked in Trundle or Sejuani or whomever was available. I don't know who was available in the draft off the top of my head, but Udyr? We're in Udyr meta now? just don't feel like that champion should work with the way that things play out. I think it's a trap to think that you can just lock in a hard scaling jungler. I mean, not a hard scaling jungler. A hard farming jungler. And call it, and a hard scaling mid, and just call it a day. Like, we gotta have some firepower somewhere. We gotta have some sparks somewhere. And yeah, so it just is really disappointing, not only the loss, but it's from the last pick. Udyr just feels like part of the problem, and all you can take, it's hard to analyze the game when you can easily just say, well, we should have just picked a different champion than Udyr and move on with our lives. I'm glad 100 Thieves showed signs of life, and like Abadaga, I think he was deathless, and someday on the Ornn, oh my gosh, someday's Ornn, I think he's the best. He's got to be the best Ornn in the league, right? Teams have to ban this champ from them. Last split, it was a significant reason that they were climbing was at the end, was everybody was just letting 100 Thieves play Ornn, and they know how to play it. Someday knows how to play it, and knows how to play lane with it, play team fights with it. It's just perfect for 100 Thieves. They got to start taking it away. FlyQuest, who did they beat? FlyQuest beat Dig, I believe, pretty convincingly. Takui, smurfing on Corki. I mean, Takui is how everyone would expect Power of Evil to look in the current meta. And for some reason, Power of Evil just doesn't. Takui looks so comfortable farming, laning, and then getting to a point where he's just killing people. And it's really interesting to see. Like, this is his first split in LCS. I don't think anyone was expecting him. Literally anyone. And I consume a lot of League content. I don't remember hearing anyone being excited about this guy coming over from Europe. Many people talked about what they heard about him and how, you know, what he might be capable of, but nobody seemed excited. Like, man, this guy, he's so hot right now. Like, I'm ready for him to come over to North America and play in the LCS. I don't feel like anybody really said that. And lo and behold, he's been a really welcome addition to the league, in my opinion. He's playing really, really well. But that's going to do it for me today. We will be back tomorrow. Hope you all have a great day.